God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
I've got good news. God sees you. I've got bad news. God sees you. God is paying attention to the things going on in our lives. The picture on the front of the bulletin says, God sees you even when no one else does, even when you don't. God is the one who sees the end from the beginning, knows everything about us, knit us together in our mother's womb, knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. But I want to go through a couple of scriptures. Well, I want to go through some scriptures. Can't really call it a couple. And I want to start in Genesis 16. I want to start talking about Hagar. In Genesis 16, prior to the verse we're going to start reading here, verse 6. Prior to verse 6, you know the story. Abraham and Sarah, actually Abram and Sarai, because the names hadn't changed yet, knew God's promise was to give them a son. And the promise seemed to be delayed. So they came up with a great idea. Let's do this. Sarai said, I'll give you my maid, Hagar, and maybe, you know, you can go into her and have a child, and that'll be, you know, according to the customs of the day. Since it was her servant, it counted as her child. That's how that worked. So Abram agreed. Hagar got pregnant. And the scripture says her mistress was despised in her eyes. Because Sarai could not get pregnant. When Hagar got pregnant, she kind of looked down on her mistress. She looked down on Sarai. Sarai went to Abram and said, this is all your fault. Praise God. Abram says, this was your idea in the first place. Leave me out of it. Deal with her however you want. In fact, verse 6. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Have you ever found yourself in a situation you really didn't plan on, and all of a sudden started resenting people around you? Looking down on, complaining about, to the point where it's no longer about what someone else did. It becomes, how am I reacting? We can't control what anybody else does. All we can control is what we do in a situation. Hagar began resenting her mistress, looking down on her. Sarai, who started this whole thing, got mad, blamed her husband. Praise God. He says, leave me out of it. You handle it. Whatever you want to do is fine. And Sarai dealt harshly with her, second half of verse 6, and she fled from her presence. Verse 7, now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness. We'll stop right there. How many of you believe she was lost and the angel of the Lord had to go looking for her? God knew exactly what was going on. The God who knit us together in our mother's womb, who sees the end from the beginning, knows absolutely everything that was going on. It's just, she knew when the angel showed up that God knew what was going on. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, and by the spring on the way to Shur, and said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? God ever ask you a question and you know God knows, but you just No, he also wants to hear you admit it. Where have you come from and where are you going? It says, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Has God ever told you to do something that didn't sound pleasant, that you did not want to do? God has absolutely done that in my life. You're messed up. This is what you need to do. I've talked a lot of times about when I was complaining about my boss, and all of a sudden that verse comes up, says, servants, be obedient to your masters, not just the good ones. And I had to go and publicly repent, publicly apologize for having railed against my boss. And he said, everybody does it. I said, yes, but not everybody's the preacher. We are representatives of heaven on this earth. God will call us to do some things that the world just doesn't understand because we are bought with a price. Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they will not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he shall be a wild man, and his hand against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who had spoken to her, You are the God who sees. For she said, Here I also have seen him who sees me. She recognized that God saw her, that God was paying attention to the things going on in her lives. Now hear what the angel said. You're pregnant, you're going to have a son, you're going to call his name Ishmael, because God has seen. The Lord has heard your affliction. God has heard my cry. God has heard what was going on in my life. God is paying attention to the things I'm facing. So she went back. We're going to jump down in a couple of chapters here in a minute. She went back. She submitted herself unto Sarai. Sarai was still rough with her for a little while, and then things calmed down. Does it ever happen in our own lives? When we do what God says, maybe there's a little hubbub, a little ruckus, but then things calm down because we're being obedient to the Lord. We're no longer stirring things up, and God is giving us peace in the midst of the turmoil. And God kind of eases things out. Does that ever happen in your life? God is at work. So Hagar is there, still Sarai's, she's still Sarai's maid. She's there. She's the mother of Ishmael. She's there in the camp. Everything is going great. Everything is going okay. There's no recorded turmoil or conflict anyway, so there's that. And it's five chapters later when Isaac has been born. And Sarai catches Ishmael mocking Isaac. And Sarai gets mad again. Goes to Abraham and says, get rid of her. My son will not be, will not have to share his inheritance with the bondwoman's son. Get rid of them. Abraham is upset. This is his son. This child is 13 at the time. Growing boy, active boy, fun to be around. Hasn't turned into a real jerk like most teenagers do. Or at least not recorded that he had. But Sarai gets upset, or Sarah at this point, because God has already changed her name to Sarah. She gets upset and goes to Abraham. Abraham is distraught and he goes before the Lord. Verse 12, Genesis 21, beginning with verse 12. And God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad and because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. God says, I'm going to take care of him. Go ahead and pay attention to your wife. Do what she says. Send them away. Don't worry about it. In Isaac, your seed will be called, but I'm going to take care of your son. Verse 14, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, gave it to her and the boy to Hagar, and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And she went off and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. Stop right there for just a minute. It has been a while since Hagar got the promise of God that they won't be able to count your seed from multitude. Your descendants are going to increase. This son of yours is going to be the father of nations. It's been a while since Hagar got that promise. So Hagar finds herself in the wilderness, cast out of the camp, given a jug of water, put outside, and she goes, she wanders around in the wilderness, runs out of water, puts the boy under a bush, under one of the shrubs, and goes away a bit, and gets under another shrub because she doesn't want to see God not keep his promise. Do we sometimes find ourselves in the midst of a wilderness, in the midst of a dry area, in the midst of a time where nothing seems to be going on, and the temptation is there to forget what God has promised? God said that he would take care of us. God said that he would do whatever God has promised and said to you in your heart, in your life. Do we sometimes forget that because of circumstances? Hagar forgot. She did not want to see the child die. Let me not see the death of the boy. Verse 16. So she sat down opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven. He didn't show up this time. He said, hey, Hagar! What are you doing? Hagar! What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And the promise that had been given is reconfirmed. When we find ourselves desperate, when we find ourselves overwhelmed by our circumstances and just nothing seems to be going right, isn't it wonderful when God reconfirms his promise? Some of y'all, most of y'all remember Joanne. Some of you remember Joanne. Joanne Favreau is a dear friend of ours. She would attend the Wednesday night Bible study. She attends Ignite if she's still up here. She's from the Buffalo area. She had been living in Champlain for many years and had been attending Ignite on Sunday mornings, but with her work hours, it's difficult to go from Champlain to Williston in the middle of the week. So she would often come and join us here, and we spent a great deal of time together. When she was a little girl, God told her she was going to go to Africa. All through her life, she held on to that promise. Joanne has been pronounced dead five times. One time she was in a bad car wreck and they had to completely reconstruct her face. Various things had gone on in her life where she had been pronounced dead, and yet she was still around. She'd come back. And she always said, God told me I'm going to Africa. Even when she wasn't serving God, she said, God told me I'm going to Africa. As long as I don't go to Africa, I'm good. So she ran from the Lord for quite a while before she finally stopped running and became obedient. But God brought her through it, and she held on to that testimony. God told me I'm going to Africa. She's been to Africa. She's been to Africa twice that I know of, as she's gone on mission trips. So she's gone to do it. Hanging on to what God has promised, knowing that no matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what we face, no matter what is happening in our lives, the God who knit us together in our mother's womb, who knows everything about us, who loves us, who cares for us, who bought us with a price, is at work in our lives and sees what we're facing. Verse 19, then God opened her eyes and she saw the well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him out of the land of Egypt. We know about Ishmael. God promised Hagar when she was still pregnant, you're going to have this son. Call him Ishmael, because God has heard you. I'm going to make of him a great nation. Your children, your descendants will not be able to be counted for multitudes. And a few years later, 13, 14 years later, had forgotten all about it. Let me not see the death of the lad. No, God reconfirms his promise. God is at work. Even when our circumstances are horrific, even when we're facing turmoil, even when there's problems all around us, God is still paying attention. I don't understand God's timing. One day I will know even as also I am known. I don't know why God allows some things to happen. I don't know why He interferes in some situations and doesn't seem to in others. But I know I serve a good God who's paying attention. In Exodus 3, beginning with verse 4, Moses, having run from Egypt and been on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years, sees a bush burning and not being consumed. And he says, I will turn aside and see this great sight. In Exodus 3, beginning with verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near to this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Children of Israel were in Egypt for 400 years. After the first Pharaoh died, or after Joseph died, there arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And the children of Israel were put in bondage. And in that time, they're crying out to the Lord. And nothing seems to be changing. We find ourselves sometimes in circumstances where we cry out to the Lord and nothing seems to be changing. But God still sees. I have heard their cry of their because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. God, why do you allow the wickedness that we face in this world? Why do you allow the suffering that we see? And we don't have answers, except it is the mercy and long-suffering of God, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, who calls all to repentance. We see the turmoil and we see the wickedness around, but the answer, the the explanation is not that God isn't paying attention. The answer is, I don't have all the information. If I don't understand what's going on around me, if I don't understand what God's doing, it is a safe bet that it's because I'm not God. I don't know what God knows. I don't know what He's doing, but I know He sees. I know He loves me. I know He is at work. We looked at the flooding and the devastation that's taken place in this land, and I saw that come up, and for those listening online, maybe you're not aware of what's going on here. We had 9 inches of rain fall in just over a day, and it fell on the mountains, and I was talking earlier, and to raise our lake level takes 6 billion, our lake level by 1 inch takes 6 billion gallons of water. And our lake level has rose by almost 2 feet. Lake Champlain has 435 square miles of surface area. It's surrounded with the Adirondack Mountains on the west and the Green Mountains on the east. And water fell on these mountains and went rushing down, tearing out roads, flooding cities and towns, washing out railroad trestles, and just all kinds of devastation have happened. And in the midst of all of that, there was only one recorded death in Vermont. Yet we have seen an outpouring of water such as, well, last time we saw anything close to it was when Hurricane Irene came up here, and that was 11 years ago, something like that. Oh, 2011, so 11, almost 12 years ago. A huge flood just changing the landscape. And there's a verse that says, if you will obey my word and keep my commandments, then I will send rain in its due season. Am I saying this is the judgment of God? I don't know what this is. But I know Vermont has been doing things that are definitely not pleasing the Lord. We've passed a, we've, I say we, just as Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. As a state, we passed a constitutional amendment for unrestricted abortion in this state that was part of the eugenics movement, that there have been wickedness gone on and on and on. But we serve a God who sees, who knows everything that's going on, yet He is long-suffering and He is patient. Scripture says His ear isn't heavy that it cannot hear, nor His arm shortened that it cannot save. God is able. Lord, why is there such wickedness? Why is there such turmoil? We know You see. We know You're at work. We know You will not hold the guilty blameless. Yet we see the turmoil and we see the problems. But just as You told Moses here in Exodus, I have heard the cry of My people. People have been crying out for 400 years. But in the fullness of time, God provided an answer. Scripture says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Two more quick passages of Scripture, then I'm going to wrap up. First to Second Chronicles 16, beginning with verse 7. Asa, king of Judah, has been beset, has been attacked by the king of Israel. Now Asa was the one who, a couple of chapters before, had a huge army come up from the east, and they came to attack. And Asa went before the Lord and said, Lord, we know it doesn't make a difference to You to help those who are many or those who have no strength. But here's this great army come up against us. And the prophet came and said, don't worry, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. And they went out to face this army, and He sent the worshipers out. He sent the praise team out in front of the army to praise God, and God defeated the enemy. Same king. A couple of years later, different situation. Another army has come up against him. And this time, rather than trust in God, He did things his own way. Kind of like Abram and Sarah. Kind of like Andrew. Kind of like all of us. Sometimes we do things our own way. So he called up the Syrian king and bribed him to come to his defense. But here's God's response. 2 Chronicles 16, beginning with verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect before him." Stop right there for just a minute. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for the person whose heart is steadfast upon him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. There's a verse in the New Testament that says, be of good cheer, little children. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to work in our lives. Do we trust him? Continuing on. Herein thou hast done foolishness. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage of him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. The king tried doing things his own way. The prophet came to him and says, "You messed up." And what was his response? He got mad and he put him in prison. Do we sometimes reject people who come to us with a word of correction? I do. I have. I try not to. But yeah. The things we see, we read in the scriptures are things that will apply in our lives. When we face turmoil, guess what? We're not the first ones to face turmoil. But we have a God who sees us and a God who is at work. When God gives us a promise, sometimes we forget about it. And situation comes up again and we've forgotten that God has already addressed the issue. God has declared it will surely come to pass. Sometimes we rely on our own wisdom, our own understanding, rather than seeking the things of God. And sometimes when we get corrected, we don't like it. We get angry. And we take it out on other people. It says, Asa was wrought with anger and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. He's in jail. Who else can I take out my anger on? Lord, help me. Help all of us. Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Talking about those who would not enter into the rest of the Lord. Verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must give account." Good news is God sees you. Bad news is God sees you. But his word is the illumination that we can examine ourselves in the mirror. "Lord, how am I doing according to your word? Father, I fall short in this area. Lord, I find myself angry and frustrated when I get corrected. Lord, I see in your word that this is wrong and I want to be what you've called me to be. I want to be the light you've called me to be. I want to be a faithful witness." When we look at the word, we should use it to examine our own life. God looks down and sees us. He pays attention to the things going on in our lives. Scripture says he condescends to men of low estate. He pays attention to the things going on in our lives. Scripture tells us every time we think upon His name, it's written in the book. Those who meditate upon Him, it's written in His book. God is paying attention to what goes on in our lives and draws us into relationship with Him. We come before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of my righteousness. My righteousness, the best I can do is like filthy rags. But I come in the righteousness of Jesus because of what He has done on my behalf. And because of that, I'm bought with a price, and I have to examine myself according to the Word of God, that I might know, that I might walk, that I might draw near to Him, that He might change my heart. We sang first song. One of the old hymns. I've got to go back. Come thou fount of every blessing. Verse 2 in there says, here I raise my Ebenezer. It's an old-timey word, comes from the Bible. What it literally means is, this far the Lord has been with me. God has been with me right up to right now. I have no reason to suspect that He will not be with me in the next step. No expectation of that at all. Because He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God has been with you. God has been with me and brought us to this point. And He's still at work. He sees exactly where we are. And He draws us by His Spirit. He loves us so much. He made the way that we might spend eternity with Him. Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord. We do thank You that You see us. We thank You, Father, that there's nothing hidden from Your sight. And You know us intimately and draw us in relationship with You. You've given us Your Word as a owner's manual. You being the owner, a user's manual from our perspective, how to go about doing things, how to walk out this life. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy shed abroad to us. We thank You, Lord, that this far You've been with us. We thank You that You will never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank You, Father, for Your plan and purposes that You have toward us. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.